Give the Lord praise in the house today. You know, the feel that I've had for the past several weeks is just God saying, I just want you to know how great an opportunity I've given you. I want you to know how great the day is. We say it all the time here, PFC. This is the greatest season of your lives. And when that becomes a revelation to you, it is. It is. And things begin to show up in your life differently. It may be the same thing you've been looking at, but it has a new face. And it has a different personality. And then you begin to see the scriptures come to pass that say something like, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And things like, no weapon formed against you could prosper. So simple breakdown is, doesn't matter, because you won't experience it anyway. And the Psalm of David, only goodness is going to follow me every day of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the Lord. This is God. This is who He is. This is who He is. And I don't feel I have a strong enough word or a profound enough vocabulary in order to say to you what I sense. But God's given you everything. You know, I feel like we don't even have to ever ask God for anything ever again, ever, ever, if He's given it all. You don't lack anything. In Christ, you don't lack anything. You may be blind to a lot of things, but you don't lack anything. And in all the feeling that I have today, if I can share that feeling, it's that, oh, it's such a good time. God is, it's such a favorable season of the Lord. And God is so great and so good in all He is, all He says, and all He does. And sometimes you just don't have to ask for anything. I'm going to share just a little thing. I don't like to share a lot about me because this isn't a me time. It's really never a me time. It's a God time. And the more of a God time it is, the happier I am. But for a couple, 3 months, I had been dealing with sciatic nerve. I'd never had that before. Like, sciatic, what is that? Is that like something crazy, like insane, and sciatic? It sounds crazy to me, like something, are you losing it or what? And I found out what it was. And it's a nerve that gets pinched in your, it's sciatic nerve that gets pinched. And when it does, man, you can't hardly move. And I felt like I'm sharing with you, I felt like God, and listen, you can ask God for anything. Call on me and I'll answer you, show you great and mighty things you don't know. Ask and it shall be given, seeking you find, knock to be open, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, all those things. That all those words are true. But I just felt like I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to do anything because I have everything. And you know what? I'm going to find something in this. Man, I couldn't hardly walk. I mean, I couldn't hardly go upstairs, downstairs. I think I maybe messed it up working out, something goofy I did, whatever. But I just thought, I'm not going to ask because there's something. I teach it all the time. I don't need, if you want me out of pain, I'll be out of pain. And I would limp around for like all day. Just limp around. Tried to do everything I could. Watched all the exercises and did them all. Get up and just hobble around. If I bumped into the side of a cabinet or something, it's just that nerve, that pain shoot down my leg into my foot. I'm just like, oh, agony. It wasn't funny. I'm laughing now because. But one thing that would happen every single Sunday, the minute that my foot hit the platform, the pain vanished the entire time. I don't mean it was tolerable. I mean just gone. Like, where is it? Every single time for about 2.5 months, just gone. Every day. So all I wanted to do was come up here and preach. I'm just going to preach all day and I'll be out of pain. And what I got from that is in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness. And what I did when I stood up here is I didn't try to get out of anything, out of any pain. I wasn't trying to address or treat myself. I was here just to give what God had given to me. Now, I can't prove God. I can't prove Jesus. I can't prove him. I can't prove him because he's a spirit. So I can't prove him. But I can share his reality in me with you. And that comes through my faith. And what I found is when I stand in the position that God has called me to stand in, everything's better than all right. I'm healed, I'm well, I'm sound. And I'd step off this platform and like for an hour or two or three, just gone. But I get up the next morning, same thing. So it's like, well, why didn't he heal me? I don't have an answer for that. I could tell you what I think. I think he wanted me to know that you can be in that much pain, and the minute you step into his presence, the pain's just gone. Whatever that pain is. And this to me was crippling pain. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm 99 years old today. But the moment I put my foot here to declare the word of the Lord, the moment I stand in his presence, and I want to share something with you regarding that, the pain is just gone the entire time. And I'm going to say it again, 100% just disappeared. And it's amazing to me. And I thought, I just want to stay here. And I just hear the Lord saying, why don't you? There's something we have that we're not seeing. And it is paramount that we begin living in the future of the kingdom of God now. It really is of the utmost importance that we begin experiencing the future of the kingdom of God now. What if God can do anything, I understand that, but what if God can't? Because of his government. What if he can't do anything until we get it? What if we can't see the kingdom in the profound way that we're looking for it if we don't begin it right now? So I want to say this to you. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of everything. And it's not a thing that you get into. It's a thing that you begin to be aware of, the presence of the Lord. You begin to be aware of the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we look so much for the wrong thing. And I just want to say to you today, this is a really, really good time. God is a giver, and he's giving you such an opportunity to apprehend, to take a hold of, to possess the blessing and favor that he is. And it's time to do it now. This has got to be a now time. And think about it. He said, I don't want you to look about or think about or talk about tomorrow. Why did he say that? And yet we're looking for his coming someday, sometime. We're looking for his return. But how? Where will he return from if he's with us right now? Now we can look up in the heavens someday and see a cloud, and but is he really coming back? Or are we just seeing an unveiled glory of who he has always been? Is he coming back in the sense we think about, or is he really just revealing another aspect of his glory? Have we misunderstood some things? He can't contradict himself. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always. I want you to think about that. It's time to begin the future and live in the future of the kingdom now. And if you understand it, we will. Just the greatest season of your lives. You can take your seats this morning. I'm going to read some scripture to you, and I'm going to prophesy to you, but you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and not what a man is saying. God is a spirit, and I know it because the Word tells me so. And the reason I know this is the Word of God is because my faith tells me that it is. Ask me to explain it. Well, I just told you I can't because this is spirit. And Jesus said it like this. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So they're going to defy logic. So just be aware of that. They're going to defy common sense because they are beyond common. And they're beyond sense. So if you would just understand with all your getting of wisdom, get understanding. And Jesus said the key to maintaining what God gives you is to understand the kingdom. So understanding is vitally important. And he said if we would seek him, if we would call on him, he would answer us and he would show us things we don't know. So you don't have to know to know. All you need to know is that you know. All I need to know is to know. All I need to know is to know. What do you mean? I just need to know one thing. And there's one thing and only one thing you'll ever have to do for the rest of your life to have victory, blessing, favor, and for things just to go the way they're supposed to. Believe God. Again, not believe in him. You have to believe in him. But believe him. Just believe him. No one would ever transgress against God if they believed what he said. I mean, unless you're just, something's very, very, very wrong with you. And still, if there was, if you believe, he would fix it. Because the fixing is within who he is. And this is what the word says. And I'm reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read, begin with verse 16. Why not? But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Break it down simple. He is freedom. Not what you get, is who he is. God is freedom. You cannot get in, I'm going to explain getting in, you cannot get into the presence of the Lord and God not give you something. You can't have an encounter with God and God not give you something. Because God is a giver. God is love, and love just gives, and that's who God is. And you really can't get out of his presence, you can only ignore his presence. Because the Word tells us the earth is filled with him. It's filled with his glory. The psalmist says, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? So he's saying, guys, there's no place to go. Where could I flee from his Spirit? Where could I possibly go? So in order to begin living in the future now, we have to have a foundation that is not religious. It is not traditional. It is revelatory. It is prophetic. And Jesus said, you'll know when you're coming in, not the end of time, but the beginning of the new. You see, we look for God to bring a conclusion. I've learned to look to God for the continuation. I don't want a conclusion anymore. I used to, because religion taught me that we had to come to a conclusion so things were okay. It's just kind of like you have to die to be out of pain. And I said, I'd rather live and be out of pain. So instead of figuring, you know, I just want to die, some people want to die because they're in so much pain, but there's less pain in living in Christ when Christ is living in you. There, you're free because God has given you everything. Now, you may say, I've tried that. I've tried a lot of things, and it just hasn't worked out for me. I've done this by faith, and I've done that by faith, and I didn't see anything. Well, you're incorrect, and you're inaccurate, and you're a little bit blind. But it's okay, because God heals the blind. Okay? Now, what God does when he heals you is he just brings you back to where you were when he made you, in his heart and in his mind, just like he is, whole and complete, lacking nothing. Because that's who he is. God can't create something outside of who he is. And the word says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whose no variation, no shadow of turning, he doesn't change his mind. So God is just so good all the time. He's just good. But he is revealed only through your faith to you. The only way you know him is that he's revealed through your faith, not to you. He's revealed through you. That's why he said, when they say to you, the kingdom of God is here or the kingdom of God is there, he said, don't believe them because it doesn't come that way. You hear it, religious church? It doesn't come that way. The kingdom of God is within you. Okay, the kingdom of God is something that is a part of the freedom that you are, a part of the healing that you are. But we did what Paul told us not to do. We have convoluted, we have confused, and we've kind of made this medley of religion, and we've mixed it all together, religion and the Word of God. And they don't mix, because religion still maintains that man is God, and man is not God. And that's called idolatry. And when we throw things over to this is happening and it's bad because the devil is doing it, then you're making him a god over you. Instead of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Well, let's stay right there and let's not double talk. Let's not be double-minded and say the Lord is with me. He leads me in the way I should go. No weapon formed against me will prosper. All things work together for good. Let's stay there and not throw it over to any religious tradition that says, but the devil is not a part of this sphere of our reality in any way, shape, or form. Only God, only good. Your boss, your friend, your family, your neighbor, your husband, your wife cannot remove you from the favor of God. They have nothing to say about it because this is, here's the word, say relationship. See, we know about God, but relationship with the Father, that's something different. So if you think and you say, I've done something by faith, I've done this by faith for a long time, and I didn't see anything, you're incorrect, you're inaccurate, and you've misunderstood. The moment that you act on faith, you're fulfilling the word of God. For it is written, the redeemed, the just shall live by faith. So the minute you act on faith, you're fulfilling the word of God. Don't tell me or God nothing happened. You just acted upon faith, and the word of God is being fulfilled in you. You're living by faith, not by sight. And something is happening on the inside of you that is profound beyond your ability to see or perceive in your natural mind. But God's doing it in you all the less, all the more, all the greater, all the lesser. Regardless of what you do or do not see, God is doing in you as he is. Not like he just started doing something, but it's taking place. You're all muscular. You're all healthy. You're all strong. You're all vibrant. You're all youthful. You've just forgotten it. So you get old and weak and tired. I remember the phrase, if you go to a gym, whether it's in your home, which is what I prefer, or you go to a gym and you say, I'm out of shape, I need to get in shape. Okay? And you go and you pick out the weights and you work out and you do your thing and you get all sweaty and hot and tired and you look at yourself and go, man, I look horrible, and you walk away and then you look in the mirror again and say, it didn't work. And you don't go to the gym anymore. It's just, all right, I've done this for a week. I don't see any difference. But the internal part of you is telling you you're so wrong. The moment you touch that weight, the moment you begin to activate circulation, electricity, life, cells in your body, everything you can't see started activating. You're breathing, your lungs are expanding, your heart rate is increasing, your body is activating, things are coming alive. The electrons in your body are starting to identify muscle groups that you didn't even know you had, and they're communicating with them and telling them things and how to respond and how to think the next time this happens. There's a lot going on the very first day you work out. It's happening. But if your eyes and your senses can't tell you, or they are responsible for alerting you that something is happening, you walk away and you won't go anymore. But if you could see on the inside what was going on, you'd say, man, I had no idea that many cells were activated and there was so much communication going on. When you pick up a weight or you start to run or you do anything that calls, demands faith and activity and action, there's so many cells within your, literally trillions of cells in your body that begin to come alive and activate, and they start communicating to different muscle groups in a way they hadn't communicated to them. There's a relationship that's going on that you hadn't had before you started working out. It's the same thing in the spirit. When you begin to act upon faith out of the conviction of your heart, immediately, something on the inside of you begins to activate. Change begins to take place. You begin with unveiled faces to see the glory of God. And the word says, and as we see him, we become transformed into that same likeness as he is. You have to see it, but the only way you can see it is to have faith. You have to believe God. God said, we shall live by faith. That word live is really important. I believe you can continue to live longer and longer if you continue to actuate and activate your faith outside of what you need, and you begin to allow your faith to command your future. The future is all bound up within your faith. Every promise of God is revealed through your faith to you. It could be revealed to someone else, but you may not believe it, so you can't prove to someone that God is working on the inside of you. You can only live the reality that he is and become a witness. And that witness becomes a power, a magnet that draws people, nurtures them, even though you can't see it, into responding affirmatively to you, to agreeing with you, to complying with your faith. Abraham became a nation by faith long before he ever saw his son delivered from Sarah's womb. As a matter of fact, Abraham is responsible for Isaac being born. It was through, God said so, it is through your faith. The reality of God will only be exposed through your faith. It's the only way God makes himself known, because God is a spirit. And he does it because it affects the greater part of who you are, and it's just who he is. You're way more, far beyond more spirit than you are human beings. We only see and we nurture this exterior, and it's important. But the word says physical exercise profits little. It profits a little, but a little. But our realities are invisible. Love, hope, fear, dreams, desires, expectation. All those things that make us want to get up in the morning, they're all invisible. You can't see them. And you can't explain them. How do you know you're loving someone? How do you know you like someone? Well, how do you know you like the color blue? How do you know? Explain it to me. But you do.
But religion puts you in a position to where you either have to blame someone because things aren't going the way you want them to, but if you believe the Word of God, things are going the way God wants them to. Because your steps are ordered by the Lord. So you did something by faith and you have nothing to show for it. Don't be a fool. I'm not calling you one. I'm just encouraging you not to be one. Because the Word says the just shall live by faith. And it is by faith that God is revealed. So if living by faith is nothing, then nothing happened. If walking according to the word of the Lord is nothing, then nothing happened. If believing God is nothing, then nothing happened. If you acting upon the faith that makes you alive in your spirit and your mind and give you hope, if that is nothing, then nothing happened. But one of the two are true. The moment that you believe God, you became a fulfilling of the word of God. Why are we here? To love God, to seek Him with all of our hearts, and to fulfill His Word. You may say, well, God's Word is fulfilled. No, God's Word is full and complete. And yes and amen, but it's fulfilled through you. And that's what He says. If you abide in Me and My Word abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. And that fruit will remain, and that's what pleases the Father. Now, it isn't that God needs anything. What could God possibly need that we have to give Him? What is it you could do? Well, I obeyed Him. Well, good for you. And like He needed you to obey Him so He could be happy today, He needed you to do what He told you to do so He could have a better day, so God could say, now that Julie did what I asked her to do, this is going to be the greatest day of my life. Thank God she did. That's me. Because had she not me, but Him, had she not, then I wouldn't have had a great day. No, God doesn't do that. Why? What does He need? Well, I worship Him. He calls us to worship Him. What does He need? What does He get out of your worship? See, God is a giver. He can't help it. God so loved that I give. You don't lack anything. There's only one thing God requires, is that you are willing to receive everything He has to give. That's all He requires. And all you have to do is receive it. And that's it. That is the beginning of the beginning that never ends. God doesn't bring you to a conclusion. He brings you to continuation. It's called eternal life. That's who God is. He is eternal, and His ways are eternal. And when you come to Him, what do you mean? You open your heart and your mind to Him. That's why people have gotten saved in broom closets, bathrooms, subways, grocery stores, laundromats, fill-in stations, basements, churches even, if you can believe that. Even with all the religion, some of them been able to swim through and actually have an encounter with God. And He's incredible to meet. You might meet someone that you admire, someone you look up to. You come up to them and you admire them. And you may ask them for an autograph. And they'll write their name in your little autograph book. But when you meet the Lord, He writes your name in His book. Who else but God? He wants your name in His book. And who could you admire and love and look up to more than God? But instead of Him writing His name in your book, He writes your name in His book. Because God is so God. He's so good. He just loves you. He just wants you to be a part of who He is. He wants your name in His book. He wants to remember you. He can't forget you. And what makes Him happy, He even said, don't even, when they came to Jesus and they said, demons are subject to us. at your name. He went, of course they are. I've seen him fall like lightning. Don't rejoice because of the things you can do. Don't rejoice because spirits are subject to you, even though churches do it all the time. He said, but rejoice because I wrote your name in my book. God wants your autograph. He wants your name. God is such a giver. You don't have to try and motivate him to give you something because he's given you everything and there isn't anything that we lack. We just need to be healed of our blindness. We just need to begin to see. And the way you do that is by realizing that God is here. And he wants you to be able to say, Jesus, see me, seeing you in me. And he's proud of that. He likes that. It blesses him. Not because we've given him everything, but what blesses God is that we receive everything he has to give. We're struggling sometimes trying to get things going and finances moving and things. Listen, we have to start this new future today. If it doesn't look like the kingdom, if it doesn't smell like the kingdom, if it doesn't sound like the kingdom, it's not the kingdom. So don't have any part of it. But when you see the kingdom of God, and what would that look like? Everything about God. It looks like love. It looks like faith. It looks like joy. It looks like righteousness. It looks like truth. It looks like God. Then we will stop being drained of our power because we have nothing anyone can take. We have everything they need, we can give. Jesus said it like this, if they take your cloak, give them your coat also. What was he saying? Just strip yourself and run through the streets in your underwear? No. He was saying there isn't anything that can be taken from you. If someone comes, be, act like the kingdom. You could give and give and give all day, and it'll never, ever go away. Because God doesn't bring you to a conclusion. He only brings you to a continuation. There is no end to his source of resource. And if we walk with that understanding, I don't have to fight to maintain my order or my honor. I have to surrender to his, and his becomes mine, and his is the one that lasts forever. Then we don't have to wrestle and fight to try to maintain our peace of mind and our confidence in life and see a future. If you would only open your eyes and believe God. He said, I'm with you always. We need to stop waiting for the future to come. We need to cease waiting on a conclusion and begin living because it's already taken place. It'll never take place any different. God may take you to different glories and different experiences, but he can't be here any more than he is. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He said, I'm with you always. The word says, in you, I am you and you and me. The word says, in Christ. It says, even if darkness comes and covers me, it's like light around me. Even if the darkness comes and it's here in its fullness, it still looks like light because in you is light and there is no darkness at all. What we need is relationship with who he is and not what he has. Because what he gives is all that he is. That's what God gives. He gives all that he is. And all you need to know is to know that. In that God today is building and establishing the kingdom of God upon the foundation of absolution. God is yes and amen. It is finished. And in God's finish, there is no end. Only a continuation. It's called eternal life. When Jesus came as a baby, as a human being, that was a facet of God's glory, being born in the earth. So he could do something profound. He could give you what belonged to him. All of it. You think God's saying, I'm going to give you a little bit. Okay, give you a little now. And down the road, if you're good, I'll give you a little bit more. And if you're gooder, I'll give you even more. But if you're not, I'm going to withhold. He can't. God can't do that. Because he's God. And he can withhold no good thing from you. The young lion hungers and thirsts, but they that wait on the Lord lack no thing. Nothing. In his presence. Where is it? In my heart. My prayers are, God, I'm in your presence. Not bring me into your prayer. I never asked God to come. He was here before I ever got here. How could I ask him to come? He is omnipresent. And this foundation of the kingdom of God has to begin now by the revelation and prophecy. And I'm telling you prophetically, this is the hour of God's favor. It's not going to get better than this, but you need to see it better than you have. You need to know this is the season and the hour of the Lord. I'm where I need to be, when I need to be, as I need to be, as he is, so am I in the world. God is in me in his entirety. He doesn't give you a little bit of who he is. He gives you the fullness of all that he is. In Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead in his body. And you may say, well, God, you know, you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't understand. You don't understand my pain. You don't understand what I've gone through. Jesus knows your pain. He was put in a body like you and I so he could experience every pain that had ever taken place. By the time of Noah, the word says that every sin that could be imagined had been committed. Every pain, every sorrow, every hurt, every feeling of abandonment, every feeling of nonsense, every feeling of no one loves me, every feeling of death, every feeling of pain, every feeling of agony, every feeling of hopelessness, every feeling, every imagination, every pain that you could imagine had taken place. Everything. And when Jesus took the cross, he took all that with him. And he bore every pain imaginable, physical, emotional, spiritual, every pain, all sorrow, everything, every sense of abandonment and worthlessness. He bore it all. He became a man of sorrows. And he bore it in a way you'll never experience it. He bore it all at once. And no one has done that. And he bore it without qualifying for it. And he bore it so he could give you all he has. And all he's asking you to do in order to be right with him is just receive everything that he has to give you. And know that it's here and that it's now. That's why he said, don't take any thought for tomorrow, because it's here today. That's why the word says, I will say of the Lord, this is the day, this is the day you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And receive the gift that he is, and not the gifts that you want him to give you. and you will lack nothing. And that removes the scales and the blindness from your eyes. Go in faith and confidence and do as high and as deep as your faith will lead you, because you're living by faith and something phenomenal is happening within you. Spiritual awareness of who God is coming alive in you. You are beginning to have fellowship with the Father. You ever sat down beside someone and there's just not a lot of conversation going on, and you could sit there for an hour? You said, ever sat beside someone in an airplane for an hour or two or three and never say a word to them? You sat there with them, but you had no fellowship. You know nothing about them. They know nothing about you. Or have you ever just imagined being around someone? Fellowship is the key to relationship. You ever been around someone that just tells you about all their ailments? That's not fellowship. That's someone saying, I needed to dump my trash, and you look like a trash can. I don't like being a trash can. And you know what happens sometimes if you don't keep your mind on what you know? You have everything they just told you about. You just walk away like, man, I wonder if maybe I should go get checked. I don't. And there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing at all. But you begin to relate to the fellowship you just had. You begin to think me, 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 because someone was talking me, me, me. But when you think him, 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 that's all you know. And in him is the fullness of you, you, you. Everything about you. The word says here, it says, in my mother's womb you knit me together. You knew the words of my mouth before they were ever on my tongue. You knew them completely and all together. Such wonder, such glory, such godness is too wonderful for me. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? I'm not waiting for Jesus to come back. He's already here. I know there will be a glory. I may look up someday in my lifetime and say, well, there it is. But it's no more Jesus than he is today. It's just another facet, another revelation of his glory. Is he going to be more God to me if he comes on a cloud or walks on a sea? Is he more God to you? Is he more Savior? Is he more Lord? And is he bringing an end or is he bringing a continuation? We're looking for the wrong things. We're waiting for a day we should never have waited for, and it was never God's intention for us to do so. He said to Nathanael, he said, you'll see the cloud, the heavens open, Nathanael. You will see the heavens open. I'm telling you, you will see the heavens open. You will see the glory of his coming today if you'll open your heart and your mind, because he's as God will ever be, and he's all God with us all the time. He'll take us to different glories. It'll feel like different places, but it's the same God and it's the same glory. Just different aspects of his eternal godness. He is without end. But if we do what he said not to do, maybe soon, maybe someday, someday is today, because today is every day, because God is all time, all the time, and he's always with us. He is not governed. His reality is not dictated by the clock or seasons or time or you or me. His reality is God all the time. He can't come from somewhere because he is everywhere. He can't come sometime because he is all time. Where did God come from? Are you okay? He is somewhere. He is everywhere. He is all things. You are creation. There's a creator, because you can't wrap your 3-pound piece of meat between your ears around that can never dictate to you that he is or isn't. He is because he is, and we are because he is, and that's reality. Only a fool looks up and says there is no God. And if there were never an always being, where would anything come from? There has to be an always, and he's that. There has to be an all time, and he is that. He is yesterday, today, and forever. Not yesterday like day before, not today like just today, and not tomorrow like just tomorrow, but all time, all the time. He's fully God with you. That's why Christ came. He knows you well. He knows your pain well. You don't know his pain, but he knows yours. You don't know his suffering, but he knows yours. No one has poured out their blood, but he did for someone, everyone, and anyone who was undeserving of all that he did. But he knows your pain, and you don't know his, and he loves you even when you reject the pain he suffered and bore for you. He still loves you because he's God. And his heart is that you would open up yours to him, and that's not a physical thumping in your chest. That's the nature of who God is. God is spirit, and that spirit lives in you, and God is revealed through your faith. So the next time you believe and say, I didn't see anything happen, you need to correct yourself and say, God just took place. I just fell. I just followed through. I just fulfilled the word of God because I live by faith and not by sight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the greatness of your word, the intensity of your presence and your spirit. Stand with me if you would. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord our God has spoken. The Lord is ever present, ever God. You're ever with us. Your greatness, your goodness, and it's all in here. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for fellowship in the body. I prophesy that the body of Christ is being built upon a foundation that is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God alone. We're not disparaged, we're not discouraged, we're not despised of the Father and the kingdom and all the reality that matters. What emotions and doubt and fear dictate has nothing to do with who you are. You were born of God and you were born of the Spirit. You are not in confusion. You were not created to live in doubt. You were created. You're made. Your basic design and creation is to live by faith, to believe God. But to know, to have the blinders removed and to know, we have nothing to wait for. I will say of the Lord, this is the day, and God made it, and I rejoice, and I'm glad in it. The Lord, he already is my shepherd. I lack no good thing. You lead me. We're there. You lead me beside the stilled waters. You have restored my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness because of who you are. Though I walk through the shadows and the deep valleys, I dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod of direction, correction, insight, and understanding, they comfort me. You even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and right there my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. I know that only goodness, only good will happen to me, for I dwell in the presence of the Lord now and forever. For where could I go from your presence? And where could I flee from your spirit? If I go to the farthest ends of the corners of the earth, there you are. Into the depths of the sea, there you are. If I make my bed in Sheol, there you are. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? And where could I flee from your Spirit? Emmanuel, God with us. Wasn't that the message? Isn't that the message? I am Emmanuelist. I believe God with me always. In your fullness, in your Spirit, in your righteousness, in your truth, in your love, and in your power. And Father, we worship you. We worship you as we acknowledge, as we open our eyes, because we become transformed in the same image, the same likeness. Our hearts and our minds look like you because of Christ Jesus. We thank you. You bore pain no human being will ever know. And you bore it all at once. No human being ever could. You not only bore the pain of humanity, you bore the pain no human could bear. And you said, in that agony that was upon you, because of the sins of humanity, you said, Father, forgive them. How great is your love, Jesus. We love you, and we know you love us. And we thank you for loving us so much. We thank you, Father. What is man that you are mindful of him? His sons and his daughters, that you think so much about them. And your word declares, you carefully, wonderfully made us that we could bear your image because of your great love. No greater love is this than he laid down his life for a friend. But not only did you lay your life down, Jesus, you took it up again. When you laid it down, you laid your life down for us. When you took it up again, you gave your life to us. And Jesus, we thank you for the life you've given us. We love you. The glory of the Lord shadows you right now. The glory of the Lord covers you. The glory of the Lord fills you. You are in the presence of the Lord. You always have been. How could you get out of it? But it's time to fellowship. The fellowship of the Father. It's time to fellowship with that glory by acknowledging it is here. You are here, and you are in me, and you are with me, and you shadow me, and you clothe me, and you cover me. You've placed your garment on me. You've wrapped me in your love. You've wrapped me in your embrace. The Lord has brought you into the most safe and secure place you could ever be because you poured it all out by faith. It's like you've become Adam and Eve in the garden again. You were clothed with the glory of the Lord. Now go in that power and take dominion that is rightfully yours throughout the earth. And God will be glorified in it all. This word is for you. Jesus, we love you. Your heart rejoices in God. Your body is strong in the Lord. You are renewed. You are made alive. You are blessed and favored of the Most High, the one and only God in His Christ. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Simply receive now, because the only time is now. This is that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.